listening to Fox Sports Radio.
So, RJ, we've been talking about the report from Ian Rapoport of NFL Network, who said that the Cowboys and quarterback Dak Prescott have re-engaged in long-term contract talks.
I hope there's a missile treaty. I mean, you know we want to get those nuclear arms limited as much as possible. All right, so let's recap. Dak's looking for a reported $35 million. Also, the rumor is they're pretty close, if not there, on the money. Which Jonas, remember, the reports are Dak said no thank you last year to 33.
Right. Yeah, that was a report from last year. Yes, correct.
So, in theory, he bet on himself and would win at this point if he gets to 35. But again, was it worth it? That's the question. Also, though, I think, and objectively, I think it's hard to debate that Dak is asking to be overpaid. Because if you look at his stats, you look at the Cowboys last season even, and you might say 8-8, how could that be all that great? Yeah, you're right. But if you look at the total yards, Dallas number one in the NFL. You look at DVOA, advanced metric, number two. This is offense now. If you look at scoring, you might say, I don't care about yards. RJ, I went scoring 7. So the team certainly didn't perform with the wins and losses the way they were expected. Hard to blame Dak for that. Now, you might say there's intangibles in the locker room. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I know that I think there's some of that. I don't know how you measure it. Because if you don't have – because it – you know, it's interesting, Jonas, because the dumbest sports fans usually are the ones that say, count the rings, right? Yeah. I mean, the guy in the bar, Barney at the bar. But I think it's almost like one of those on the political spectrum, if you keep going, the extreme right and the extreme left are actually next to each other. It's like a circle. Because I think the smartest people eventually say, yeah, the stats matter, but there are these intangibles. Where do you fall on that when it comes to, you know, the guy with the green eye shade saying the computer says versus your gut feeling and the idea that a Joe Montana is more than his stats when he comes in with one drive to go and points at John Candy? Where do you stand on that?
I think it's important not to ignore any of that stuff. I think you can take something from both sides. I think, you know, the numbers do provide evidence of how good somebody is, but it can't just be all numbers. And I think the count the rings argument is one of the lazier discussions that people do in sports, because at some point or another, you got to be able to look deeper into things and realize, you know, maybe one player can't control every aspect of an outcome, and you have to really take your time and actually pay attention to what you're watching and don't just go back and look at a box score.
Now, do you feel like the count the rings is lazy in the NBA?
Yes.
Because to me, anyone that saw Utah and the Bulls, sixth title for Jordan, they're replaying a lot of games recently, right? Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Go watch that final game, Jordan's last game with the Bulls. And I'm guessing you recall it. Jordan transcended any stat. I do have a feeling when Montana comes in with one drive to go, it's different than Jim Kelly coming in. And Jim Kelly, Hall of Fame quarterback. But do you really believe that it was just random that he lost 4 Super Bowls?
I think he met up with a lot of really, really good teams. He was also injured.
Well, that Giants team wasn't all that good.
Well, I mean, but that Giants team, their defense played really well, and that was Bill Belichick's defense that figured out the K-gun in that offense in Buffalo. And so they ran into a defense they had not dealt with before. I still think those Bills teams should be considered some of the great teams of all time. I mean, to go back to a Super Bowl 4 straight times, like I've always argued, I think there's a legit argument that Bills team is still a dynasty, even though they didn't win.
And what's amazing is if they would have won 4 more games over 4 seasons,
right,
they'd be considered the greatest team in history.
It's crazy. Yeah, they were really, really good.
And you can say, you know something, that's all foolishness. Let's assume Billy Beane, this is what he says. It's, you know, once you get to the playoffs, you're just rolling the dice. That's what Daryl Morey says. Isn't it interesting, though, the guys that seem to rely on analytics the most are the ones that seem to come up short in these playoffs a bunch, right?
Yeah, it's almost like they do enough of the they count things more so to get you to that point. And then once you get to that point, they just say, well, here, you know, at least we're here, and let's just hope things go our way. Ultimately, though, you've seen in the NBA, it comes down to, especially in a late game situation, who's got the best player and who can get a basket when it's needed most, and it's no longer about who has the best offense. It comes down to players in the end.
So it's almost like the analytics guys can't figure out how to put a number on that intangible of being a winner in the biggest spots. And lo and behold, in the biggest spots, they tend to come up short. Could be a coincidence. I don't know if it's statistically significant. But I like a hybrid. Because let's be honest. If it's all numbers, if you can throw them in a computer and it's just an arms race, not missiles, but computer code, guys from Yale and Harvard and MIT, it's not the same game. It's not the same sport.
No.
And that's what ruined baseball. Bill Simmons ruined baseball strong. That's hurt baseball, I think, is the idea that there's this analytics contingent that acts like if you disagree with any of their stats, like you're the dumbest person that ever walked the earth.
Yeah, and there's also, I think it's sort of downgraded the managerial position because they just assume, well, we're not going to pay a manager. We can just have somebody upstairs make all the decisions. I do think there's value in a manager who's been around that team on the field every single day for months and months and months, over 160 games, that I would trust them to be able to make the right decision in a pitching matchup than somebody upstairs who's sitting in a press box just looking at numbers and crunching numbers.
That's Jonas Knox. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. To me, where sports feels like it actually is, which is a lot of analytics, and really analytics is just a fancy name for stats and numbers that are a little less than typical, right? Advanced numbers.
Right.
And I think that if you aren't considering the stats, you're not considering how this team does on back-to-back. In fact, what I do for a living, sports betting is something that it's all pretty much, or it's a big chunk of numbers, right? And database analysis, finding out trends and stats that aren't obvious. It's a big part of the game that we do. But you know what else there is? There is the intangibles. There is that gut feeling. Is this team going to be motivated, right? Is Luka going to be a little hungover after his 21st birthday in Miami?
Yeah.
Right? That kind of stuff, yes. It's hard to put in the computer. So I love it that it's almost like the way of the world is AI, computers on one side, the past, legacy, feelings, humanity on the other. This isn't Terminator. The question is, not yet at least, the question is, how do they overlap? Where is it numbers? Where is it intangibles? And the fact that it's both in sports makes it so interesting. If the numbers didn't matter, it wouldn't be as interesting, right? I think being a sports fan today is so much more intellectually satisfying if you tend towards those things than it was 30 years ago. Pre-Bill James and all that, if you were a numbers guy, it was like you were alone, right? Internet. Now, if you're a numbers guy, you can have a huge community to discuss it with. You want to be a gut guy? It's over there. It's all over the place, too. I just think it's stupid. And listen, numbers guys are usually like this. Whatever they do is they usually didn't go to the senior prom. And and if someone disagrees with them, they take personal offense. I mean, I'm sure you've dealt with that, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, you talk with somebody who uses a bunch of numbers and they talk almost down to you if you're not able to understand the numbers that they're throwing out at you. It's why I always try and stay away from numbers on the radio, because I just think if I'm driving, if you throw that many numbers at me or if I'm listening, I get lost. You know, like, talk to me. Let's have a conversation.
Some would say one of our great skills on this show is using the numbers as the foundation, but trying to get to the bigger story.
Yes.
I don't know if you'd agree with that.
I agree. No, you can't ignore, like I said, you can't ignore it, everything, but I do think you have to pick and choose what information is pertinent to a discussion and what stuff isn't.
So bringing it back around, However we judge leadership intangibles, it's hard to give Dak like a big score there, a super positive score. They haven't even made the NFC Championship game. So I'm not saying that's all his fault, but I got to be candid. If you look at the quality of the players on this team, it's hard to say that they don't have enough talent. I mean, if this were a blind resume and you didn't even see the players' names, you just saw their stats or however it is that we're going to quantify them, couldn't you make the case that Dallas is you know, right there, maybe San Francisco won? Now, how much do you think of Mahomes where he can trump everything? Dallas is a top five talented team, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, they're a talented team. I do think their roster is a little bit overrated, though, because I had heard, and I've been told this since watching sports when I was younger, that you know it's all about the players. Players are more important than the coach, and yet everybody you know keeps telling, if that's the case, why couldn't this roster outperform Jason Garrett, who we were told isn't a very good football coach? I think the roster is a little bit overrated, and I think a lot of guys had down years last year.
Do you think it's overrated because they haven't performed and made it to a championship game of the NFC? Or do you think just looking at the players, you're saying, that left tackle's not as good? And I mean, where are you coming from with that? Because there's two, if it is about the performance or underperformance for the team, that could be the players aren't as good, or it could be some of the players aren't as good. Maybe Dak.
I actually don't think Dak had that bad of a year last year.
I agree.
I think Zeke had a down year. I think the offensive line wasn't as good. I think the defense wasn't nearly as good as we were told that they were. DeMarcus Lawrence got a big time contract last year. I don't think he had a monster season.
No, I think almost. I don't think one. Let me ask you this: what player that signed in the last 2 years for Dallas has lived up to the contract?
Oh, God.
I don't think any.
Yeah, you can
argue. I mean,
of
the major
nobody.
Deals.
Yeah, you can argue. I don't know any, because, look, even Amari Cooper has disappeared at times in certain games.
Wow.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So, Jonas, did Fezzik ever tell you about his worst losing streak ever when he kept taking the... He said, there's value on the New Jersey Generals, and just kept taking the number. I don't think he got the memo.
I haven't heard a lot about Fez's losing, but I do hear a lot about the winning.
Well, listen, you don't... Whoa. That's a little hit and run right there, buddy.
I'm just saying.
Well, but first off, I think that's unfair, because... And you know me, I'm as hard on Fez. I mean, of all the feedback I get, by far the most prominent is, be nicer to Fez. I'm like, listen, there's money at stake, all right? You want to go have beers after, we'll have beers, but we got to get the right info. And that said, when he loses, we'll have theme music around it. But it's not like we're hiding any losses. The guy wins.
I've received one text message from Fezzik after a game that he had money on, and it was the XFL, and it was his torrid streak in the XFL to where he went undefeated
the whole year.
The league. Yeah, but before the league shut down, and it was almost a humble brag tweet that he sent me. That's the only time I've ever heard from him on an individual text after a game that he bet on.
So, in a way, though, that reinforces how unfair you were to him. Well, listen, tomorrow this is going to lead the show.
Yeah.
We now know the Vegas lead.
Okay, perfect.
And we're gonna play the tape, the hit and run. I mean, I'm defending. I feel good right now, right? Listen up, Twitter. All right, so, but I'll tell you this though, I don't know if it's generational, and it was pre-internet. You know, I was growing up in the late '80s. But when the Globetrotters came to Wheeling, West Virginia, I grew up in Ohio, but it was right across the river, it was a big deal. I mean, was that the case?
I think it's in places to where if you didn't have a professional team, because I can remember before I got to Charleston, South Carolina, when I took a job in radio, there was just an NBA exhibition game that was there, and it was one of the biggest deals around town because they never got, you know, professionals to play there. It's a college town, college atmosphere, college region. So when you get an actual professional, or you get a guy on a rehab assignment, like an Alex Rodriguez or a Derek Jeter, and they're playing in a minor league game, people always come out in droves.
And, I mean, to me, one of the most interesting parts of our recent history, last 100 years in this country, is the idea of the traveling performers. You know, P.T. Barnum, you hear that name all the time, right?
Yeah.
But if you actually, there's some good books. I've read one where just the idea that these guys, and there was a show on HBO that only went a couple years called Carnival, where it's on, you know, HBO Go or whatever, but it was about this traveling carnival.
It's WWE.
Yeah, you know, that's true, except I think, well, actually, that's where wrestling started, was those,
yeah,
where they were actual shoots, right?
Yep.
And then eventually Luthez. So you're a big wrestling guy, right?
Yeah, I grew up watching wrestling.
But it seems like you kind of know the history a little bit, too.
I know the history. I think some of the documentaries are fascinating because you learn the real stories behind stuff and how it's done. So I've always been interested in just sort of the history, the backstories, what was really going on as opposed to what was shown on the screen. I've always found that stuff interesting.
And the Vince McMahon story where literally he was like 30 years old, bought it from his dad, but it wasn't like his dad... He didn't hardly know him. Like, he didn't grow up with, you know, it was late. I think he was in his mid-teens before he even met him. So, yeah, there was love there from the dad, but it was a business deal. He sold it to Vince Jr., and he risked it all on WrestleMania. If WrestleMania 1 didn't become a hit, he would have had to sell the company, or it would have been actually foreclosed.
Yeah, so, he put a lot into it.
He put it all into it. And... he's a billionaire now. So to me, whatever you think of wrestling or whatever, that is a great story.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
So here's what I know. If I asked you, why do quarterbacks hardly ever leave? Meaning that if the team wants them, when does a quarterback leave? An elite quarterback.
Yeah, no, it's
rare.
It's very rare.
Why? I think it's a simple answer. Because it's not like in the NBA where they can give them an extra good contract or anything. It's they can sign them before the contract is over. So if you have a deal, excuse me, I'm fighting off. I think I'm no virus here, but I'm fighting a little something off. But if you have a deal that you're underpaid, you don't want to go all the way through the end of that deal, right? You'd rather, if you're in a position that the team wants you, like Mahomes, right? He doesn't want to go all the way to year 5.
They always say the old adage, if you talk to NFL executives, they always say the best players never hit free agency.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the fact that Dak is in a position that he's going to get paid a really nice number, like 32, 33, whatever, they haven't got it finalized yet, is my understanding, what is the tag's going to be. Okay, he can get insurance. It's not cheap. That Lloyd's of London kind of thing is not cheap. But you get your insurance. Worst case, you have a catastrophic injury. You're covered, at least financially. And then he literally hits free agency next year. And isn't it interesting? Odds on who the Patriots' starting quarterback is going to be, not in 2020, but 2021. So next season... Stidham the favor, as we talked about at length yesterday on the show, Straight Out of Vegas. Deshaun Watson, the second favor. Cam Newton, third. Fourth favorite, Dak Prescott, 9-1. If I'm Dak, I'm looking at this Cowboy team saying, we've overpaid every major player. Now you don't want to overpay me, so okay. I'm not saying who's right or wrong there, but that's a fair statement. It doesn't seem like Jerry wants to overpay Dak. So now, if you're overpaying everyone, seemingly, in a hard cap league, what does it mean about the value of your team, Jonas?
Yeah, and that's the problem. You just wonder some of these deals that Dallas has paid out. I mean, look, Zeke got a lot of money, Amari Cooper got a lot of money, and now you're paying Dak Prescott. What do you got left over? Your center just retired. Robert Quinn was your sack leader. He's gone. He went to Chicago. It's been not a very bizarre offseason for the Cowboys.
But here's the thing. Dak is finally at the point that he can get to free agency without there being a real pain. The pain point was playing last year without the contract.
Yeah.
He's through that now. He's making 30-plus million this year. Go the one-year Kirk Cousins style, hit free agency. I mean, and then imagine the red carpet that's going to be rolled out.
I mean, if we're talking about Dak Prescott just re-signing with the Cowboys, if he hit the open market, that would carry us for months on the show.
I mean, and plus, I would love to imagine him on the Patriots. Imagine him on the Patriots. Or who he would have his pick. And it's funny, if you've already felt the pain, the real pain is that year last year, why not? Why not?
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.